in regards to their education. We're thankful for Brother Josh and his family, Lord. What a blessing they've been to our church. I pray that you bless this evening, bless the service, the singing, and most importantly, the preaching of your word. We love you. We thank you. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Psalm number 364, Standing on the Promises. Psalm number 364. On that first verse, standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let its praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior, standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises that cannot fail, when storms of doubt and fear assail, the word of God I shall prevail, standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to Him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God.
Great singing.
Oh,
forgot verse 4. I'm sorry. On verse 4, right?
Standing on the promises, I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.
Now we're singing.
Brother Ron going old IFB on us, trying to sing only three verses. Thank you for being here this evening. Just a few announcements here before we continue with the graduation tonight. Of course, we welcome you to come back to our Thursday evening service at 7 p.m. Of course, that's our Bible study as we go through the book of Isaiah. You see the soul winning times listed there in the middle and the list of expecting mothers. Congratulations to the Carries once again on the announcement of their seventh child, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. And so congratulations to them. And then we have the stats there for salvations and baptisms for the month of April. As I mentioned this morning, the team went out to TJ yesterday, and they got 11 salvations, and so that was exciting. On the right-hand side is the upcoming events. Of course, we have our graduation ceremonies today. We had the elementary graduation this morning, and then today, this evening, we have the high school graduation for Brother Josh Rodriguez, and so we're excited about that. End of school parties on Saturday, May 31st. You can see my wife, Sarah, for details on that. And then we have a ladies' prayer breakfast coming up on Saturday, June 7th, meeting at the building at 10 a.m. And so you can see Ms. Chanel Gonzalez for more details if you'd like to participate or help out in that little activity there if you'd like. And then we have a Father's Day hike coming up on Saturday, June 14th. May I say that this is not only for fathers. All men are welcome to come to this. And so, you know, sometimes our church is a little overly literal. And, you know, they're just like, well, it's only for fathers. Well, it's a Father's Day hike. Okay, meaning it's the Saturday before Father's Day. So everyone's welcome to participate. All the men are welcome to participate in it. That'll be at 6:30 a.m. Maybe that might dwindle down the group just a little bit. You have the address there. And Brother Jose is heading it up. So, you know, if it goes well, you know, if it goes wrong, no, I'm just kidding. No, we're excited about it. It's going to be good. Please make sure you silence your phones during the preaching so as to not be a distraction during the service. At this time, we are going to go ahead and go through here our high school graduation for Brother Josh Rodriguez. And before we get into that, I do want to acknowledge the parents and Ms. Courtney and Brother Robert and just give them a round of applause for their investment in Josh's life. Really proud of you, Josh. I personally, as a pastor, am very proud of you. I have a lot of love in my heart for you. I pray for you often. And I'm just really thankful that we have a young man like you in our church. And you are an encouragement to us all. And you are an example that a young man can grow up in 2025 and still be godly, righteous, love the Lord, go soul winning, come to church, and honor their parents, and be respectable and honor those in their church as well. And so I just thank God for you, and I thank God that He's brought you along this way. And of course, we know that you know the journey doesn't stop here; it doesn't end here. Your education continues on hereafter, and so we are here for you as a church. We're here for you as a family, and we will continue to pray for you. At this time, why don't you come on up and receive your diploma here? Give him a round of applause. Congratulations. He wanted us to keep it short and sweet. He doesn't really like a whole lot of attention. So why don't we go ahead and bring him up again? No, I'm just kidding. No, let's give him one more round of applause, Brother Josh. Great job. Good work that you put in. Stay faithful, brother. Stay faithful. All right? And so thank you. That's pretty much it. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. No, I'm just kidding. No. All right, we're going to sing our next song. Song number, what do we got here? Oh, we got the song sheet, Until Then.
If you don't have a handout, go ahead and please raise your hand. Oh, we got quite a few. Ushers, thank you, gentlemen. Until Then, very powerful song. On that first verse, my heart can sing when I pause to remember a heartache here is but a stepping stone along the trail that's winding always upward. This troubled world is not my final. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold that city. Until that day, God calls me home. The things of will dim and lose their value if we recall their borrowed. We want to see the Savior as well. So on that last, we'll change from city to Savior. On that last verse. This weary world with all its toil and struggle may take its toll of misery and strife. The soul of man is like a waiting falcon. But until then, my heart will go on singing. ushers come forward for the offering, please turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6.
Good evening. Tonight we're in 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy 6, the Bible reads, "Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strife of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we could carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only Potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen." Let's pray. Dear Lord God, just thank you for your word, Lord, and just thank you for this church, and thank you for this next generation that you're raising up to serve you, Lord, and just thank you for our pastor. Please bless him right now and fill him with the Spirit as he preaches your word, Lord, and just be with us in the congregation to hear the word being preached, Lord. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Okay, tonight is our high school graduation, and so I'm going to preach a sermon entitled "A Charge to the Youth." A Charge to the Youth. Now, obviously, it's our high school graduation, but you know, we got a lot of young people in our church that I want to address as well, give a charge to. And you know, I really like 1 and 2 Timothy because of the fact that it's written to a young man, right? We see that it's written to a young man. The Apostle Paul refers to him as a youth. We don't know exactly how old he is, but we know that he is young. He's a youth. Yet, in spite of all that, the Apostle Paul refers to him as a man of God. Why is that? Well, because of the fact that the Apostle Paul is holding Timothy to a higher standard, right? Even though he's young, even though he's a youth, even though he's not necessarily older in age, he's not necessarily an elder, the Apostle Paul is saying, hey, you need to make sure that you behave yourself like a man. And in fact, look at verse 11 of 1 Timothy chapter 6. He tells him here, but thou, addressing who? Timothy, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. He goes on to say in verse 13, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a pretty hefty charge that he's giving Timothy, who is a youth. He's not saying, hey, you know, you can play video games every once in a while. Hey, go hang out with your friends every once in a while. Hey, you know, just be childish every once in a while. He's treating him like a grown man. And he's telling him here, you need to make sure that you keep these commandments until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's no wonder that Timothy ended up being a really godly person. He's someone who the Apostle Paul could entrust with the church at Ephesus to preach there, to disciple there, to lead doctrine there, to be a great leader at the church of Ephesus because of the fact that although he was a youth, he was treated as a man. And I'm a strong believer, I'm a firm believer that we need to treat the youth as though they're grown men. Obviously, we don't want to rob them of their youth, rob them of their childhood, rob them of having a good time as a youth. However, we need to make sure that we have an expectation of them that they need to grow up, right? Why? Because they are the next generation. As Brother Cody prayed in before the sermon tonight, you know, they are the next generation who's going to take up the torch. They are the next generation who's going to take up the torch of doctrine, the torch of preaching, the torch of being the next members of our local New Testament church to lead the success of God's work here at First Works Baptist Church. What does it mean to charge? Well, to charge means to impose, to impute, or ascribe responsibility, to instruct, to lay command or injunction upon. And this evening, I want to give a charge to the youth of our church. So it's not specifically directed at Josh, although much of it is, of course, because this night is about him. But Josh, this is about all the other youth in our church as well, okay? And so the youth in our church better not be like, yeah, this is all for Josh. No, this is for you too, okay? Wherever Christian, wherever you're at, this is for you too, all right? All the young men in our church, and obviously, we can say, what is a young man? We can say it's a teenager all the way up until a young adult in their 20s. And so you 20-year-olds, give heed to this sermon as well. This applies to you. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Hold your place there in 1 and 2 Timothy and go to Ecclesiastes chapter number 12. Let me give you a couple things that I would like to charge our teenagers with. And obviously, you know, the time will not permit for me to go through all the things that I would like to instruct our teenagers with. Obviously, that requires a lifetime of instruction, a lifetime of teaching the Bible. And as the years go by, you will learn a lot in this regard. But first and foremost, if I were to give you one charge, first and foremost, I would say this. Seek God in your youth. Seek the Lord in your youth. You know, young people have a tendency to seek frivolous things, things that are vain, things that are sinful, things that do not profit. Whereas the Bible consistently charges for the young people to seek God in their youth, in their young age. Seek the Lord and his power, all right? You're in Ecclesiastes 12. I'm going to read to you from Psalm 71, verse 17. It says, O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. That is a pretty powerful statement if you think about it. You know, David here is writing in the book of Psalms, and he's saying, you know, the Lord has taught me. He's instructed me since I was a little kid. And what does that show us? It shows us that David was someone who walked with God even as a youth. It's someone who sought the Lord in prayer and in the reading of the scriptures since he was a very young man. I would hope that the young men in the church can say, you know, with confidence, you know, God has instructed me since I was a teenager. And look, these little 5-year-olds that graduated this morning, that's my prayer for them, that they would say, you know, the Lord instructed me since I was 5 years old. And, you know, make no mistake about it, being in a church that's family integrated aids with that, right? You know, it helps with the young people learning the Word of God. And, you know, obviously it gets a little noisy in here when the kids are in here and, you know, you got to discipline them and take them out. But make no mistake about it, the kids in our church are paying attention to the preaching of God's Word. They're taking notes. Sometimes they pay better attention than the adults. You know, the adults are just, you know, cracking open a Red Bull or something. They're thinking about dinner. They're thinking about everything else, whereas the kids are actually paying attention to what's going on. So how do you know? Because I talk to my kids who are in the service, and they ask questions about the sermon. They ask questions about the things of God. Folks, they are soaking up they're soaking up God's Word. They're soaking up the preaching of God's Word. They are being instructed from their youth, right? But in order to be instructed from your youth, you have to choose to be instructed, though. You have to seek God out. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1, for you young people, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. You know what it tells me? It tells me that it's easy to forget God in your youth. It's easy to forget God during your younger years. Why? Because you got so many other things that you're being distracted with. You have so many other activities that you're involved with. Sometimes God is placed on the back burner. Whereas the Bible's telling us here, make sure you remember God when you have the time to walk with God. Make sure you remember reading your Bible when you still have time to read the Bible. Make sure you pray when you still have time to pray. Make sure you go to church while you still have time to go to church. Why? Look what it goes on to say. While the evil days come not. Now that's a powerful statement. What is it telling us? It's a promise to you young people. Evil days are coming. Bad days are coming. Afflictions are coming. Heartaches are coming. Tribulations coming. Hardships are on its way. And you know, when you're young, you don't really think about those things. You know, obviously the youth of today is different from the youth in my day. You know, spending time with frivolous things in my day would be basically watching TV all day. You guys know what a TV is? It was a square box that we used to use back in the day that had images, and you couldn't choose when a show came on. You had to just be there when it came on. And if you missed a show, you just missed it. There was no, like, playback. There was no, you know, you couldn't do any of that. If you missed a special, you just missed a special, and then you have to go to school the next day and hear all your friends talk about that cartoon that you didn't get to watch. You know, but you guys, everyone's like, what? Why didn't you just YouTube it, bro? Like, why didn't you? Because we didn't have that. You know, when you're younger, you don't really worry about it. You don't worry about bills. You don't worry about your health. You don't worry about, you know, the cares of this life that adults worry about, because the evil days come not. And so what is God specifically saying to the youth? You need to make sure that you seek God out while you still have the liberty to do so. Because the older you get, the more difficult it becomes to seek the Lord. Why? Because when you get older, hardships come, and that plays a major role sometimes in hindering adults from seeking after God, unfortunately. You know, balancing everything out, balancing work, balancing family, balancing economic issues, balancing what's going on in this world, and fitting the Lord and walking with God and serving God within that scope, right? Whereas the writer here, Solomon, is saying, you know, the best time to start seeking God, to build the discipline to read your Bible, is now, when you don't have the bills stacking up, when you don't have the heartaches, when you don't have the afflictions. He says here, remember now that Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. In other words, before you become a grump. Yep. Old people are grumpy. Grumpy people sometimes, you know? Because they've seen the evil, and it changes their disposition. It changes their attitude about life. With kids, they're always happy. Kids are just happy. They're always having a good time. And God is saying, you know, use that rejoicing and that joy, that youthful disposition, to seek after the Lord. He says, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. Obviously, the imagery that's being portrayed here is when sad days come. You know, the older you get, the more sad you become sometimes, because the reality begins to set in of how life can actually be, right? the difficulties of life. And you know, young people in our church are probably thinking like, man, this is depressing. You know, is it really like that? Well, obviously life is beautiful. Life is great. But it doesn't, it's not that it's great at the exception of receiving evil as well, though. And while you're still living with your parents, while you do not have the responsibilities of an adult, God commands you to open your Bible and read it and seek after the Lord. Remember your Creator now. Learn to have God's favor on your life now. Learn how to get a hold of God now. Learn how to build the discipline of walking with the Lord now. Because folks, once you get older, it gets a little more challenging to do so. You know what? Adults struggle with this all the time. Brother Josh, adults struggle with this all the time. Adults struggle with seeking after the Lord in their older age all the time. The best thing that can happen to you is that you learn how to seek God through His Word while you're young, so the discipline's already there. It's like brushing your teeth when you get up in the morning if you do that, you know? I don't know what the youth do nowadays, you know? There's certain things that are just natural to us when we get up in the morning. It's just second nature, right? And you know, walking with God should be one of them. But that only happens if you build that discipline early on in your life, and that discipline is only built if you, listen to this, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. The Bible also says, you don't have to turn there, in Psalm 14, verse 12, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. The desire for parents, the desire for spiritual leaders, the desire for elders is that the young people of our church would grow as a plant does in their youth. They start as a seed, and we just see them grow and sprout and become that strong redwood, that strong palm tree that is not moved. But it all starts with building the right foundation when they're in their youth. Seek God in your youth, young people. You know, if you're here in church tonight, that's you seeking God in your youth. Thank God that we have a church where young people come. They come to hear the preaching of God's word. They come to learn about the statutes and precepts of God. That is them putting God first, seeking the kingdom of God in order to put Him first. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Proverbs. Go to Proverbs chapter 23, if you would. Proverbs chapter 23. Charge number one is that you seek God in your youth. I would hope that tomorrow morning, you young people have the discipline of getting up in the morning and reading your Bible. Not going through Instagram, not going through TikTok, not turning to the video game console, opening up your Bible and seeking God out, asking God to teach you something from His Word. Do that early on. You won't regret it later. Seek God in your youth. But let me also say this. You know, another charge that I give to the young people, to the youth, is that you love and honor your parents. Love and honor your parents. Now, look, folks, let me let you young people in on a little secret. Parents aren't perfect. I know that's shocking to everyone. There's no such thing as perfect parents. The only perfect parents that exist are to five-year-olds. Because to a five-year-old, their parent can do no wrong. Parents are just perfect. To a five-year-old, their parents are the heroes. But as we grow, we begin to see the flaws of our parents, and that there creeps in a temptation to not honor them and love them as God commands us to. But let me just remind you, here's the best insurance policy for your life. You love and honor your parents. No, the best insurance policy is just to be healthy and to make sure that I have enough money in the bank and make sure that I stay away from vices. Yeah, that's good and all, but I'm going to tell you right now, the greatest insurance policy according to the Bible for any young person is to love and honor their parents. The Bible says in Ephesians 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord as long as they're Christians. No, it just says in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. So it sounds to me as though God is saying, if you want me to extend your life, if you want to live a long and prosperous life this side of eternity, the number one thing you can do is love and honor your parents. Obey them and you'll live long on this earth. Now, I'm not here to explain to you how that works. I'm not here to say, well, you know, the reason that works this way is because let's go ahead and cross-reference some scriptures here in the Bible that teaches specifically what is the practical reasons behind obeying your parents and how that keeps you, you know, from dying sooner. I'm just going to tell you that's what just God says. And so if God says obey your parents, just do it. If God says honor your parents, do it. If God says love your parents, do it. Now, look, folks, you know, we can all point, I'm sure we can spend the entire evening pointing out the flaws of our parents. We all can. And you know what? One day our kids will be able to do the same to us. They can point to our flaws too, right? But at the end of the day, what we're supposed to do as children, as sons, as daughters, is accentuate their strengths and minimize their weaknesses. And recognize that their weaknesses are something that you will inherit as a weakness as well. So you better understand that you need to sow the right type of seeds in order to not reap the weaknesses of your parents in the long run, okay? You know, it's important for us to realize, hey, I need to love, honor, and obey my parents. And yeah, I may inherit the weaknesses of my parents because we all inherit the weaknesses of our parents to a certain degree, okay? We all do. Whether it's an attitude, whether it's a habit, it's a disposition, we all inherit something from our parents. But you know what? Christianity offers a new nature that helps us to supersede and transcend those habits, those dispositions, and those things that we inherit from our parents. The point that I'm making here is that, you know, instead of blaming our parents for maybe areas that they fell short in, why don't we accentuate their successes in order to sow seeds in the future for us as well so we can live longer and honor God by doing so? You're like, well, I just don't think, you know, my parents deserve that honor. Yeah, but God deserves that honor, though. You know, it's like a wife who's just like, well, my husband doesn't deserve me to, like, reverence. Yeah, but does God deserve for you to reverence your husband, though? Of course he does. So whenever the leaders in our life fall short and they don't seem worthy of that type of respect, honor, or love, then we circumvent that and do it as unto the Lord. Point that I'm making here is a charge that I give to the young people is love and honor your parents. Now, this is important today. Because in the day and age in which we live, we have young people who despise their parents, mock their parents, beat their parents, ridicule their parents, do evil unto their parents, right? The Bible says in Proverbs 19, verse 26, he that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. Look at Proverbs 23, verse 22. It says, hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Showing us that there is a temptation amongst young people to despise their parents the older that they get. Whereas the Bible's teaching us here to obey them, to love them, to honor them. You say, well, you know, you just don't know my parents. Yeah, but I know my parents, though. And there's nothing new under the sun. And you know, at the end of the day, we have to realize that we don't honor and love our parents necessarily because they're worth it, although in many instances they are. Because quite frankly, let's just be honest, we can just spend an entire evening highlighting their failures, but we could also spend an entire evening talking about all the good that they've done as well. You know, how about the fact that they had you? Right? How about the fact that they fed you? They clothed you? They put a roof over your head. Yeah, but they didn't give me an Xbox, though. I don't even know if that's a thing anymore. Yeah, but they didn't give me this, that, or the other. Well, that's a good thing. You know, I think of some of the things that my mom abstained from giving me that I complained about when I was younger, but now that I'm older, I'm thinking to myself, actually, that's good that I didn't get that. You know, I remember being young, and I remember, you know, when I was in elementary, the thing that was really in was buying these black Nikes, just Air Nikes. I don't know what they're called, but there are these black, all the kids had them. And you know, when all the kids have them, you got to have them too. And I was just like, man, and you know, you're just coveting all the day long. You're just like, man, I want those so bad. That's why people get Yeezys, even though they're so ugly. It's because everyone else has them, okay? So then, you know, I wanted these Nikes, and I remember telling my mom, like, I want these. She's like, we ain't got no money for that. I'm just like, come on, Mom, please let me get these knives. Please let me get, you know, please let me get. And then, you know, I didn't get them. And then, you know, later on, it was like the Air Force Ones that were really popular, which I think they're still popular. But, you know, the white Air Force Ones. And I'm like, Mom, please. And she's like, I ain't got no money for that. And I'm like, man. I'm like, but I need shoes, though, you know. I need shoes for school. She's like, okay, let's go get you some shoes. So we go to this place. What is it called? Oh, yeah, Payless. Go to Payless. And she's like, pick the shoes that you want, you know. And, it, you know, I ended up getting these shoes that they weren't Air Nikes. They're called Air Walks. I mean, you know what Air Walks are, okay? They're just like the Payless version of Nikes. And, you know, you get those, and you could tell they try to make it look like a Air Force Nike. And I'm like, man, I got to make sure I get pants that are baggy enough to just cover these suckers so that no one sees what kind of shoes I got. And, you know, I had an older brother, and he knew that I wanted some Air Nikes. He knew that I wanted them. He knew that I couldn't have them. So I came home with these Airwalks, and he's like, oh, you got some new shoes, huh? I'm like, leave me alone. He's like, well, what are those exactly? Airwalks? That's weird. I never heard of Airwalks before. I'm like, Melvin! Mom, that was bothering me. And you know, when I was a kid, it's just like, man, you just can't have those things. And it's just like, man, that sucks. But you know what? Looking back, I'm thankful that I didn't get those. I'm really thankful. And it built character in me. It helped me not to be it helped me to be a young man who was content with such things as I had. And you know what? It helped me not to be a spoiled brat. Because when you give a child everything they want, they become spoiled, ungrateful. And quite frankly, it helped me to be grateful for the other things that I ended up getting that were nice. So that later on, when I did get a pair of Nikes, I was grateful for them. Yeah. To the point where I would even walk all weird so that, no, you know, there would be no creases, try to stay away from big crowds so they wouldn't get scuffed. I learned to appreciate things. The point that I'm making here is that, you know, sometimes you view the rules that your parents institute upon you as being grievous, and for the moment they are grievous. But later on, they do yield the peaceable fruits of righteousness. Love and obey your parents. And may I say this, young people, learn to tell your parents that you love them. Learn to tell them you love them. That's gay, though, you know. No, it's actually a godly thing to do. And let me just say this, you'll thank me later. You'll thank me later. Because let me just tell you, young people, your parents aren't always going to be there. And I'm not trying to be doom and gloom, but there's going to be a time when your parents are gone. And you know what? A lot of times, young people, later on in their latter years, are filled with regret over bad decisions that they made in their youth towards their parents because they didn't verbalize love. Tell your parents that you love them. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Go back to 1 Timothy. Go to chapter 4, if you would. Here's my charge to the youth. Seek God in your youth. Love and honor your parents. Here's a good one. Number 3, abstain from being despicable. Don't be a despicable youth. Don't be a little punk. Don't be a little brat. Don't be someone that our society just can't stand. Don't be someone that people despise. Look what the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4. You're like, oh man, that's kind of rough. Well, look what the Bible says in verse 12. When addressing Timothy, he says, let no man despise thy youth. Now, let me clarify what he means there, okay? He's not telling Timothy, hey, don't let anyone boss you around. Don't let anyone hate on you. Don't let anybody disrespect you. No, he's actually telling him, conduct your life in such a way that people don't despise you. Be a likable young man. Be a likable youth. He says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy 3. He tells him once again in 1 Corinthians 16, actually when addressing the Corinthian church and talking about Timothy, it says in verse 10, now if Timothy has come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord as I also do. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto thee, for I look for him with the brethren. Now, if the Bible's telling Timothy, if Paul's telling Timothy, hey, don't let anybody despise you, this is kind of showing us that the youth even then had the temptation or the habit of being despicable. Now, you know this as well as I do. And, you know, because of the advent of social media, Instagram, and TikTok, you know, that has accentuated how despicable young people can be. Disrespectful, prideful, arrogant, despicable, right? Where do I have you? Actually, skip 2 Timothy. Go to Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30, if you would. Proverbs chapter 30. You know, he tells Timothy, the way you can offset being a despicable person is by being an example. Being an example in word, meaning the way you talk, right? And obviously, you know, you got Gen Z language out there, Gen Z lingo, and, you know, whatever. And sometimes I got to Google it, like, what is this? What is brain rot? You know, what is this particular? And then sometimes I look something up, I'm like, oh, man, I wish I'd never looked that up. What in the world is this? And then I start saying some of this stuff. I'm just like, I got to get these words out of my mind, you know, some of these. But it says to be an example in word, meaning learn how to conduct yourself as a young person in your actual verbal conversation, in the way that you talk. And you know what? That's why it's important for young people in our church to be able to fellowship and talk to grown adults. You know, part of the reason young people have a hard time conducting themselves without being despicable is because they only have each other. You put them in a school with people their age for 8 hours a day, it's no wonder they produce what they produce. But you put young people along with adults, godly adults, people of wisdom, they will begin to adopt the attributes and characteristics of adults as well and speak properly and be encouraging in that manner. So he says, be an example of the believers in word, in conversation. We would use conversation the way we talk to each other, but conversation in the Bible is referring to your conduct, your way of life. He says in charity, you should be an example of how loving a person is, right? He says in spirit. Now, this is something the young people are really good at. Because what does it mean in spirit? You know, just how zealous they are, excited they are. They're lively. And this is why it's good to have young people in the church, because it adds liveliness to the church. You know, one day we're going to have really old people in our church where everyone is just really old. It's going to happen one day, right? And, you know, hopefully when that time comes, we still have young people in our church. Because young people add vitality to the church. They add excitement to the church. They add energy to the church, as they should. He says, in charity, in faith, and in purity. Oh, man, that's important. This is a temptation for young people to go out and fornicate, to go out and commit lewdness, to go out and do things that are displeasing unto the Lord, being involved in lasciviousness and uncleanness and abominable actions. What we need is a new generation of young people who commit to purity. Amen. Who abstain from fornication. Right. Who abstain from uncleanness, who despise those things, right? Amen. To be holy and pure in body, in mind, and in spirit. And then, of course, he says to give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Look at Proverbs 30, verse 11. There is a generation, it says, that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. Oh, man, we're in that generation today, aren't we? Yeah. Making YouTube videos about the parents, criticizing their parents, cussing out their parents, cursing their parents, spreading lies about parents, not blessing their parents. You want to cut your life short, go ahead and do something like that. And by the way, it's not saying that there's a generation that curses their father like it's a good thing. He says there is a generation that are pure in their own eyes. What does that mean? It means, oh, they're valid in what they're doing against their parents. They're pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness. They're seeking to remove the mote out of someone's eye, all the while they have a beam in theirs. He says they're pure in their own eyes, yet they themselves are not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes and their eyelids lifted up from all the selfies, right? They're pure, they're vain. He says, there's a generation whose teeth are as swords and their jaw teeth as knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. This is a curse to a generation when there is a group of young people or when society is filled with young people who curse their father and their mother. They are a reproach to that nation. They are a reproach to that society. And this is written in order to deter us from raising young people with these types of characteristics. By the way, for someone to curse father and mother, you have to have a pretty hardened heart to do that. Yeah. Right? You have to be pretty hardened, cold-hearted, and callous to despise your father and mother. You say, well, you know, you don't know my parents. Well, you know, I don't have perfect parents either, and I'm not going to stand here and just tell you all the failures of my parents and my father and my mother or whatever. But you know, we've been through some pretty traumatic stuff. But in spite of all of it, I'm not going to curse my father or my mother. Obviously, my mom's in church here tonight. So, you know, she's doing great. She's been a blessing to me. And she has, you know, prospered in our church. We have a great relationship. But, you know, my father hasn't necessarily been in the picture. But, you know, in spite of that, I'm not going to curse him. I'm not going to curse him. Why? Because I don't have a hardened heart. You know, my heart is tender towards the things of God. It's tender towards the Bible. And you know what? Part of the problem with this society and this generation is, and I hate to say it, but social media has caused young people to be hardened towards the things, towards just love, towards their parents. I mean, some of the things that people find funny on social media is crazy. People dying is like funny to people. That's a fact. And so this is why this generation exists. And 2 Timothy, you didn't turn there. I had you turn there, but I had you go to Proverbs 30. Stay there in Proverbs. 2 Timothy 3:1 says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. What does it mean to be perilous? Dangerous times. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. Listen to this. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful. Unholy. Without natural affection. That's referring to reprobates. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. What's the point that I'm making? The point that I'm making here is that young people need to learn how to abstain from being a despicable young person. And quite frankly, it's actually not hard in the day and age in which we live to stand out from that crowd. You know, it's just like, you know, what do I have to do? Like, how much scripture do I need to memorize to not be despicable? You could just learn John 3:16, and you're already ahead of like 90% of the young people in this nation. It's like, you know, when you talk to young people about getting a job and succeeding in this world, it's not very hard anymore. Because everyone's just lazy. They don't want to work. They don't want to like get promotions. They're not willing to learn and to augment their understanding of their skills. It's not very hard to stand out as a successful person anymore. So it doesn't really take much. But the point that I'm making is that you can be a person of nobility, young man. You can be a person of purity. You can be a person of who's admirable in the eyes of the adults, in the eyes of our society. And just know this, like this generation is essentially relying upon you, depending upon you to take up the torch. Abstain from being a despicable person who hates their parents, who hates godliness, who are despisers of those that are good. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 17, if you would. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Here's another charge that I have for the young people in our church. Slay the lion, the bear, and the giant. So what do I mean by that? I'm not talking about the 100 men versus the silverback gorilla. Because we all agree that 100 men would win. There, I said it. Yes, you put 100 men against a gorilla, 100 men would absolutely demolish that gorilla. We might sacrifice 5 or 10 guys in the process. They might, you know, get handicapped or whatever. You know, the first 5 guys, like, you guys got it, you guys got it, you know. But then everyone else. I'm not encouraging for you to go fight a silverback gorilla because I know you'd win. What am I talking about? Well, before you go to 1 Samuel chapter 17, let me read to you from Judges 8. It's probably one of the saddest verses in the Bible when it comes to young people. Judges 8, verse 20 says, "And he said unto Jether, his firstborn, Up, slay them! But the youth drew not his sword, for he feared, because he was yet a youth." So his dad's like, get up and start cutting dudes up. This is my command unto you. And Jether refused to draw his sword. He's like, well, I'm just a kid. And the question I have is like, then why do you have a sword on? You know, you want to act like a man. You want to dress like a man. You want to talk like a man. Well, it's time to step up and be a man. He's like, draw your sword. And he says he was afraid because he was yet a youth. And you know what? Today we have a generation of young people who are unwilling to take the responsibility to overcome their sinful habits, to overcome obstacles and challenges because they're not willing to draw the sword. And you know what? The sword, we could apply that to, just remove the S, the word. Young people, you need to draw the sword, which is the word of God. Amen. What do I mean by slaying the lion, the bear, and the giant? I mean, overcome the lions and the bears in your youth. You know, if you're a young person in our church and you've opened certain doors to sinful habits, to sinful thinking, to things that are just displeasing unto the Lord, it's up to you to slay those lions and those bears now before they get out of hand later. And let me just tell you this, slaying the lion and the bear in your life now prepares you for the giant later. Look at verse 31 of 1 Samuel 17. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. Now, let me give you a little bit of background what's taking place here. Goliath is essentially challenging the nation of Israel to fight. And of course, Goliath is a giant, and everyone is just scared of him. You know, they're like, they're wimps. Saul's scared. David's brothers are all fearing. Everyone's just scared to fight the giant. And really, the giant, you know, Goliath is just saying, why don't we just, you know, instead of having an all-scale war, you just get your best guy and fight against me, and whoever wins, wins the war. But no one's willing to do this. They're not willing to fight the giant. So David's coming. He's bringing cheese to his brothers. His dad sent him to bring cheese, to bring him lunch. And he sees all this commotion, and he hears Goliath blaspheming the Lord. And he's just like, who's this uncircumcised Philistine saying all this nonsense? Why isn't anybody stepping up and doing something about it? And everyone's like scared, and they're just like, yeah, well, you know, Saul said that like whoever defeats him, he's going to let him marry the daughter. His father's going to be tax-freed, you know, and he's not going to have all these, he's going to reward him basically. And David's like, I'll do it. So all the soldiers who have training start rehearsing the words of David, who's simply keeping the sheep, bringing cheese to his brothers. They rehearse the words in the ears of Saul. Bunch of wimps. We're talking about soldiers here who are accustomed to warfare. They want to send the 17-year-old to do the man's job. Verse 32 says, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. That's boss right there. He's like, hey, tell these guys not to be afraid. You know, these 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds fighting in the war. I'll go fight. Verse 33, and Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. Yeah, real encouraging there, Saul. Well, aren't you the king, Saul? So why don't you go fight the Philistine, Saul? And David said unto Saul, and by the way, let me just say this. Young people, sometimes the older generation will seek to discourage you from doing things that you know that God can enable for you to do. Yeah. And let me just say this. You know, we do respect our elders, but sometimes we just need to, like, shut them off and not listen to that. Not listen to the old prophet. Not listen to the elder who's trying to squelch your zeal for God. Yeah. And young, you know, hey, you older folks in our church, don't discourage the young people from being zealous in our church. Let them be on fire. Let them be zealous for the things of God. Don't be like Saul. Oh, you're just like a young guy. Who are you? David said unto Saul, verse 34, thy servant kept his father's sheep. I like that he used that as like a resume. He said, whoa. What is he saying? I obeyed my father. And what comes with obeying your father? A long life. Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Now, that's pretty amazing if you think about it. Now, we don't know the details to this this event, if both a lion and a bear came at the same time or these are separate events. We don't really know. The point is, he slew a lion and a bear. What is he saying? This is my resume. This is why I'm qualified to destroy the Philistine, because I have a track record of slaying the lion and the bear. Young people, let me say this before we continue with the story. I hope that while you're in your youth, you're slaying the lion and the bears in your life as well. Behind closed doors, when no one else is watching, I hope you slay the lion and the bear of laziness. I hope you slay the lion and the bear of pornography. I hope you're slaying the lion and the bear of idleness. I hope you slay the lion and the bear of vanity. I hope you slay the lion and the bear of godlessness. Overcome those lions and bears today. Because that is the resume for the major fight that you're going to face in the future. And let me just tell you right now, spiritually speaking, these soldiers are soldiers that didn't slay a lion and the bear later on. That's why they couldn't take on Goliath. David, on the other hand, had the confidence. He had the resume. He had the experience. Look what it goes on to say in verse 36. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go and the Lord be with thee. You know, you would think Saul would be like, man, this is so embarrassing. I can't believe a kid's going to fight my battles. Or just listen and be like, man, that was inspiring. Let me just go do it. He's like, you know what? Go for it, man. God be with you. But you know what David said? You know, God's the one who delivered me. What does that show us? It shows us that David was right. The Lord did instruct him from his youth. He was walking with God from his youth. And you know what, young people? Yeah, you may be young, you may lack experience, but you're building the experience now, though. Amen. You know, the word of God abides strong in you. You've overcome the wicked one because the word of God abides strong in you. You need to identify the weaknesses in your life as a young person and slay that bear and slay that lion, because I'm telling you right now, they're going to come back to bite you in the long run if you don't. They're going to affect your marriage. They will affect your future job. They will affect your life in the future if you don't handle the lions and the bears today. Amen. Slay them! Amen. Don't be like Jether, who just refused to get up and start hacking away because he was just a youth. Look at verse 43. The Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Now, what is the Philistine doing? Why are you bringing a stick, a twig? Why are you bringing this lightweight to me? This guy who victim weight to me to come fight with me. That's what he means by staves. He's like, you're bringing a spear to come fight me? Verse 44, and the Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. It's pretty intimidating. You got this guy, this giant, blaspheming, saying that he's going to use you as bird feed, your carcass as bird feed. But look, David's not deterred. Look at verse 45. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. That's powerful. Because, you know, the Philistines come to him and say, he's saying, I'm going to use you as bird feed. And he's like, I'm going to use you as bird feed, and I'm also going to feed you to the beasts of the field too. And I'm going to chop off your head. David's, you know, he's pretty bold. And he says, and at the end of all this, everyone's going to know that there's a God in Israel. Why did God deliver David? Why did God deliver the Philistine into the hand of David? Because he knew that David would glorify him in the long run. Verse 47 says, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. I want you to notice this. You know, David's not running away from the fight. He didn't run away from the bear. He didn't run away from the lion. He's not running away from Goliath either. He runs toward the fight, not away from the fight. Can I say this, young people? Stop avoiding your weaknesses and face them head on. Stop avoiding the problems and face them head on. Confront the weaknesses, confront the problems, run towards the war, run towards the battle, not away from it. It says in verse 49, and David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Let's just read this for good measure here, verse 51. Therefore David ran, stood upon the Philistine, took his sword, and drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. So it sounds like David actually fulfilled this promise. First of all, he used a stone to kill him. Once he was dead, he took Goliath's sword and he decapitated his head. Now, we're not going to read the rest of the story, though it's great. David's just walking around with that. Where's that head, Brother Ulysses? You know, he's just walking around with Goliath's head. I mean, I don't know how big it is, but it's pretty massive. It's a giant. And he's just like, once they're done with the battle, he's just walking around the camp with the head. When he goes to meet Saul, he's just like, I mean, that's pretty gruesome. And then let me just say this, it was a young guy who did this. Why do you think this is every child's favorite story? It's a great story. Pretty gnarly, gruesome, but it actually happened. What's the point that I'm making here? The point that I'm making is that David conquered the lion, he conquered the bear, which ended up preparing him to conquer the giant. You know, young people, I'm not trying to be gloom and doom with you this evening, but let me just say this, Josh. You know, Josh and everyone else, you're going to face a major giant one day. Major giant one day. It's going to come. It comes for everyone. Giant is just, it's intimidating. It's a major affliction, major problem. It's big. It's a giant. And in order for you to have the confidence to defeat that giant in your life, you better make sure you've taken care of the lion and the bear in your youth. To build the confidence, not just in yourself, but let me just say this, in the Lord. Because the Lord delivered him out of the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he knew the Lord was going to deliver him out of the hand of the Philistine. And you know what? The giants that come in your life, you will have the confidence to defeat Goliath if you implemented defeating the lions and the bears today. Slay them. Up and slay them. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2, in verse 22, flee also youthful lusts, but follow after righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart, he says. Go back to Proverbs, if you would. Proverbs chapter 20. I'm going to breeze through some of these next points. We're almost out of time. Here's my charge to you, young people. Next one is this. Learn how to rely upon the Lord in your youth. You know, if you live with your parents, thank God for that, right? They provide for you. But I want to challenge the young people to pray for things. Pray for things. Hey, if there's something I can impart unto you tonight, Josh, is this. Learn how to get things from God. You know, don't ask mom, don't ask dad. Learn how to pray. Pray it down. Christian, learn how to pray it down. Robert, learn how to pray it down. As a young person, one of the greatest things you could ever learn as a youth is to get things from God yourself. to have power in prayer, to know that God is listening and that you can pray unto him, John Michael, and that the Lord will provide for that, that's powerful right there. Why? Because, you know, the faith of a child is great. And if we can just maintain that faith through our youth, that'd be even greater. One of the greatest ways to do that is by continuing to exercise faith in God for our necessities, even in our youth. You see, look at Proverbs 20, verse 29. It says, the glory of young men is their what? Strength. And the beauty of old men is their gray head. What is it saying? You know, young people don't rely upon God as much. Why? Because they glory in their strength. They're strong. They're physically strong. They don't need as much sleep. They can sleep for 4 hours and just function and go to Six Flags and, you know, then go soul winning. Then, you know, they could just no sleep and still have the strength to just go to church and do everything. They're just physically, mentally strong. They have a lot of vitality to them. And then they can hit a PR thereafter at the gym with bad nutrition, no training, little to no training, and just go hit 500 on the deadlift. Looking at you, Gio. Why? Because the glory of young men is their strength. But let me just remind you what Isaiah 40, verse 30 says. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, though, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord, though, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You know, you're strong, young man, but your strength will only go so far. And so learn to rely upon the Lord. Learn how to get things from God through prayer. Learn how to get wisdom from God through prayer. Learn how to pray it all down. The point that I'm making here is the charge that I have for you is to learn to rely upon the Lord. I'm going to skip this point here. You'll just have to learn to do without it. Go to 1 Corinthians 13. It was a really good point too, so it's too bad. You know, just going to have to read the Bible, I guess. I made this point already to a certain degree, but let me just say this, is that, young man, here's another charge, is that you need to grow up. Mature. Grow up. The Bible tells us, watch in 1 Corinthians 16, it says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Psalm 144, we read this earlier, verse 12 says that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth. Look at 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. It's a powerful verse there. What is it saying? It's saying, grow up, be a man. Get a job. Amen. Hey, learn how to work. Yeah. Learn how to get up early in the morning. Yeah. Get a job. Amen. Learn how to have a good work ethic. Learn how to read your Bible in the morning. Yeah. Learn how to take responsibility. Get a job. Amen. Learn how to overcome laziness. Learn how to serve in your local New Testament church. Amen. To take on more responsibility in your church. Take on more responsibility at home. Take on more responsibility at your job. Be a man. Don't run away from responsibility. Run towards responsibility. You know, young men in our church, and we have great men, young men in our church, take on more responsibility. Ask for more tasks. What can you do for your church? Ask not what your church can do for you, but what you can do for your church. And you know what that requires? For you to put away childish things. Now look, you got to relax every once in a while. I get it. I know you have to unwind every once in a while. Of course, we all do. I know you have to just kind of, you know, just chill out and get on your phone every once in a while. But you know what? At the end of the day, though, that time should be before bedtime, though. Not past bedtime, through the wee hours of the morning, till 5 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, playing video games. Why? Because you're supposed to put away childish things. See, a grown man understands, I need to get to bed, because I need to wake up in the morning because I have to walk with God in the morning. I need to get to bed because I got a Bible to read in the morning. I need to get things from God. I need to seek the Lord early. And me seeking the Lord early would require for me to go to bed on time and not playing video games all night, amen? Now look, I know I can shout this from the housetops and you're all going to still play video games. I know your manner. But if I could reduce it just a little bit by this preaching and just admonish you and exhort you to grow up, be a man, esteem, you know, the things of God far more than your, you know, activities, than your pastimes. You know, if I can just get you past that, I feel like I have succeeded. Amen. Folks, because we need more young people to take things more serious nowadays. Amen. Take on more responsibility to grow up. Put away these childish things. Put away the video games. Put away the you know, I don't know, what do young people even do nowadays? I'm such an old geezer now. Pokemon cards. Sell your Pokemon cards. Was that a personal testimony or something? Brother Cody? Man. Put away your Yu-Gi-Oh! Is that even a thing anymore? Put away your Sailor Moon cards. Pokemon cards. Now look, I'm not trying to be extreme about this because obviously everyone has a pastime, and if you do Pokemon cards, that's weird, but hey, that's you, you know what I mean? Just don't tell me that was you, okay? Let me be ignorant of your vice. But you know what? If it's cutting into your responsibilities of being a mature young man, that's a problem. Put away childish things. Understand as a man. Think as a man. Become a man by putting away these childish things. Grow up. And in fact, Lamentations 3:25 says this: "The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord." And I want you to notice this. "It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth." God says that's good for you to work hard, to be tired. And look, if you're working hard all day, you don't have time to go home and play video games. You just knock out because you're so exhausted. He says it's good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. Now, go to Ecclesiastes 11 because I want to be balanced when it comes to this point. Because look, young people, I'm not trying to rob you of any fun. Oh, you just don't want me to have any fun. Well, I just don't want you to waste your life with frivolous activities that don't mean anything, that won't amount to anything. You know, there's nothing wrong with a little rejuvenation, a little recreation. All that stuff is good. But let's just be honest, the vast majority of young people are not just doing it recreationally. It's just their life. I mean, I just learned about this like within the last year or 2 years or so, how people just literally stay up all hours of the night playing video games. Young people, don't look at me like that. You're like, wow, really? Yeah, you. Wow, shocking. No way. Yeah, you. That's a waste of a life. And you know what? That robs you of just mental energy that's needed for the Lord. You know, you wonder why you have trouble memorizing scripture and thinking the right things, thinking righteously, being sober in your mind, being able to overcome sinful thoughts. I'll tell you why, because you've made yourself a weak-minded man. Sleep is necessary, my friends. He giveth his beloved sleep, amen? But let me give you the balance of this, and that is that you need to enjoy your youth as much as you can. So grow up, but don't grow up too fast. Meaning that if you're still living with your parents, you can be mature, but just still recognize you're still living with your parents. And you know what? Growing your knowledge of the Bible, but don't be too big for your britches, though. Still enjoy your life. Enjoy your youth as much as you can. Look what Ecclesiastes 11, verse 9 says. "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth." You know what? Let our young people laugh. Let them joke around and laugh and enjoy life and be innocent. and enjoy the simple things in life, let them do it. Don't douse that flame. Don't try to hinder them from enjoying their youth. They only have one. Josh, enjoy your youth. Laugh it up. Have a great time. Love your mom. Love your father. Hug your mother. Hug your father. Give them kisses. Sit on their lap. You laugh, but you know what? That's what young people do. You know, my son, right now, that's what he does. He has no shame in that. You know what? I want him to continue to enjoy his youth because he's a young boy. You know, young people, there's nothing wrong with that. Enjoy that while you can. Enjoy it. Hey, cuddle with your parents. Why not? There's nothing wrong with that. Cuddle with your parents. Let your heart cheer thee in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart. You know, it's the gift that God has given to you to be a young person to enjoy such things. And you know what? The only reason it's embarrassing to some people is because they're part of the public school system where that's like talked down on. But you know, the people who don't really, you know, the people who doesn't bother them, they don't really have peers to make fun of them about that, right? I just know because I was a part of a public school system where like being a normal kid was just like shameful. You know, you have to be tough and arrogant and you have to just, you know, have this pompous attitude. Whereas, you know what? God has given the innocence to a child all the way up to his teenage years. Just let him be a kid. Let him hug his mom and his dad. Let him cuddle up with his parents. Let him just have fun as a young person as he's maturing. It says it right there. However, it goes on to say, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. Walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. What does he mean by that? You know, live life careless as a young person. Enjoy your life. But just recognize, you know, don't be so careless that you make bad decisions. Understand that actions still have consequences. Understand that God will still bring thee into judgment. So enjoy your youth, but don't become sinful about it. Don't delve into wickedness and iniquity because you will end up reaping what you sow if you sow to the flesh. He says, therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart. Put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. What does that mean? You're not going to be young forever. So first of all, enjoy it while you can, right? When the summers are long, the days are long, when the cares come not, enjoy that. But likewise, recognize that actions have consequences as well. Exercise wisdom. And the last thing I want to say is this. You don't have to turn there. Actually, I'm not even going to read more scripture. I'm just going to tell you this last point. Young people, here's the last charge, and that is learn the value of commitment. Be a committed person. What do I mean by that? Commit your life unto the Lord. Commit your life unto the service of God. Commit to your parents. Learn the discipline of commitment so that when you're older, you commit to your spouse. You commit to your children. You commit to the things of God. Learn the value and the virtue of commitment, young people. And here's the best place to start right here, in God's house. What's the sermon this evening? Here is the charge that I give to you young people. And I'm not going to repeat them all. The point that I'm making here is that, you know what, young people are important in our church. God values the young people in our church. And God is rooting for you. We're rooting for you. Your parents are rooting for you. The future kind of depends upon the decisions that you make today, young people. We're praying for you. We love you guys. And we hope that you prosper and succeed in the Christian life, in the things of God. And I would hope that you would apply these principles. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this evening, Lord. We're thankful for all the hard work that our young people put in. Thankful for Josh, of course, and what a great testimony he's been to our church. A blessing he's been, Lord. It's been pleasant to see him grow up and commit himself here at First Works Baptist Church. I pray, Lord, that your hand be upon him and the other young people in our church as well. That you would use them greatly, Lord, to accomplish great things for you. I pray they would not just let this message go in one ear and out the other. I pray that they would apply with zeal that which they heard tonight. in order to experience success. And I pray you bless us as we go on our way. We love you. We thank you. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Psalm number 248 in your hymnals, Now I Belong to Jesus. Psalm number 248. Psalm number 248 in your hymnals. On that first verse. Jesus, my Lord, will love me forever. From him no power of evil can sever. He gave his life to ransom my soul. Now I belong to him. Now I belong to Jesus. Came down to bring me salvation.